Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live on this Wednesday. It is hump day, March 11th, 2020. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Got to address this off top. It is a really trying, a really, really weird time right now, isn't it? You know, most of us have never seen anything like this. The coronavirus outbreak has really just become the story, the number one story on a lot of our minds. If you have not heard, the coronavirus outbreak has now prompted Michigan State University to switch now to online instruction until late April, April 20th. Michigan confirmed its first two coronavirus cases last night. Pretty sure many of you saw the governor, Gretchen Whitmer, address the outbreak and confirm those two cases. And Michigan State has also canceled two career fairs scheduled for this week. Will not take on any new events that may draw at least 100 people. I mean, it is serious, folks. Just a weird vibe right now. And this is certainly, as I highlighted on last week's show, this is certainly having an effect in the sporting world as well. And, you know, we've seen a few conferences in the world of men's college basketball actually just decide to say, all right, fans, you can't show up. We're gonna hold these games behind closed doors. Or really what I've seen is them just cancel the events as a whole. Now, as it pertains to Michigan State men's basketball, which is competing, of course, this week in the Big Ten tournament out at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. There has been no official word from the Big Ten Conference or reps from Bankers Life Fieldhouse as it pertains to games being suspended and the tournament not happening or fans not being allowed to attend those games. As of right now, the Big Ten tournament will proceed normally. But, you know, and Tom Izzo spoke on this subject yesterday, you know, teams are preparing and the NCAA is preparing to possibly hold the big dance, the big tournament, the NCAA tournament, behind closed doors and not allow fans inside those venues. It's a thought right now. Nothing officially has been confirmed, but those discussions are happening. And just moments before I walked in here into Studio S, I saw a story that read, the World Health Organization has officially called the coronavirus outbreak a pandemic. Just Man. I'll repeat that. The World Health Organization has declared the coronavirus outbreak a global pandemic. If that does not put in perspective just how serious this is, I don't know what will. So, be safe out there, folks. That's first and foremost. Wash your hands. You know, make sure that you're not, even if you do wash your hands, don't put your hands towards your face, which is a really hard thing for me to do. I've realized that. Really hard for me to just say, Al, do not touch your face. And, you know, limit your exposure to big crowds. All right. You know, I tried to go to my local store down the street, you know, after I voted and, you know, tried to pick up some hand sanitizer and some other disinfectant materials. And lo and behold, they're all sold out. So it's just really weird right now. You know, this is certainly going to have a big effect, I believe, on the sporting world as we continue to adjust as a society to this. And I'm going to touch on, you know, what this will mean for what is one of the most important times on the sporting calendar, that being, again, the big dance, the NCAA tournament. You know, today officially sports books opened up in Michigan, specifically at, you know, downtown Detroit. You know, you got a few casinos there who have opened up sports books, and you can now officially place a sporting bet in person. How about that? This is a big time where money certainly flows in the world of sports gambling. And, you know, especially those who buy tickets to attend these tournaments around this time of the year. You know, if this thing continues to get worse, and if the NCAA decides that, hey, man, we can't hold this event with fans in the building. I mean, can you just imagine how weird that's going to be? I'm going to touch on that more in just a moment, all right? But before I do, you know, Alec Rio, behind the glass, you are a student here, a grad student here at Michigan State University now. And, you know, you and I, we texted this morning and kind of talked about how this will possibly even affect what we do here at Current Sports and the show moving forward. And I'll actually be having meetings throughout the week discussing that. But, you know, this may affect my travel for the NCAA tournament now. You know what I mean? Going to Indy this weekend? No, that's not happening. I wouldn't be approved if I could to go there. So for you as a student, I mean, you're switching now to online classes. I mean, what are the conversations you've been having amongst other fellow students of yours and just your thoughts on this?
So this is kind of weird, though, because, I'm a journalism student, and most of what I entail as a student, you know, doing assignments involve going out and interviewing people and being outside of my house and conducting business that way. So this kind of changes everything in what I do, because you can't simply just make journalism classes online, because most of the assignments are in terms of going outside and, you know, being social and talking to people and whatnot. So it's like, really,
and you know what? I want to pass along this. I'm glad you brought that up, Alec, because I do want to pass along this information. I was chatting with Professor Joanne Gerstner, who we partner with, the Journalism 418 course here. And, you know, we have about, I want to say, like 12 to 15 students who many of you have already heard on our airwaves throughout this semester. We work closely with them. They provide content for us, and they're beat reporters. They all have a beat. They're out in the local community interviewing people and producing stories for us. And now it looks as though we got to shift away from that. I talked to Joanne, and those students will not be helping out with WKAR's Current Sports for the remainder of the semester, unfortunately. Really cool, though. You guys got a chance to meet a few of them. Sean Gardner was the last one, I guess, that our listeners out there, you know, got the chance to see, I guess, well, at least on our Facebook live stream. He was in yesterday. But no longer will those students be able to come in and help out on the show. They will be working remotely for the rest of the semester, which you just hit on, Alec. That's going to be a bit weird, because as a journalist, you know, your job is to be out in the community talking with people, You know, it's not a job where you sit at a desk.
It's not like a job where you can, like, my roommate, he's a software engineer, and most of what he does involves just sitting at, you know, like, our table and just coding. You know, you can easily do that away, and you can easily have online classes for that. But for us, it's different. It's just much different. And so, like, I've had conversations with most of my friends, and they said, you know, it's not that big of a deal because it doesn't really affect their homework or just, you know, doing what they got to do to graduate. But for me, it's completely different because it affects basically how I conduct my job and just do any, you know, just trying to get any kind of story across. So it's definitely going to be challenging, but, you know...
Are students happy about this? I mean, like, some students may be like, oh, we get to chill and party every day. I'm just online now. Or are students like, oh, no, I need to be in the classroom?
No, I mean, my roommate was actually pretty sad about, you know, having classes canceled and stuff because he's so close to graduating with his undergrad. So it is preventing that from happening, and he wants to be in class. But I've seen some other ones who have made some jokes. One of my friends bought 12 pack of Coronas and celebrated going like, no, there's people out there.
Do you really want to, like, that's the thing about this, because, you know, I've seen some reaction from that as well, online students, and it's like, do you even want to go out and be in a social gathering where you're partying it up when this thing is out there? I don't know. I don't want to, and
know.
This is the thing too. You don't want to panic. You know, that's the last thing you want to do. You don't want to panic. You know, President Samuel Stanley, he sent out a message to the university today. He's been sending messages out for the last couple of weeks now, and you do not want to panic. That's number one here. Again, the first cases in Michigan were confirmed just yesterday. But at the same time, you want to be safe. And I don't know, for students out there, if going out and partying it up with other people out there and germs lingering out there with this thing floating around, if that's the wisest thing. I'll just say that.
It's not a great idea, but I must say, it is a great timing for President Stanley to be our president, because what his background is he has a doctorate in infectious diseases and stuff like that. So having a president like him with the background knowledge that he has, he knows exactly what to do in a situation like this. And I hate to say it, but it's just great timing that he's our president during this.
Yeah, that's an interesting point as well. Mm-hmm. So be safe out there, folks. And again, I'm going to dive more into how this will affect the sporting world in just a moment, because it could get a little weird. I'll just say that for your viewing pleasure, those who enjoy professional sports, college sports here in America, it can get a bit weird if you do see leagues out there, conferences out there saying that, yeah, we can't have fans in the venues. We're going to play behind closed doors. I don't even know if those events will still be televised. I have no idea. But I'm going to comb through a few more details. I got a few more points I want to make concerning that. But I want to get responses from you all, you know, our listeners out there. This is one of those things that directly affects everybody. Everybody. I don't care where you are right now, what your demographic is. You are being affected in some way, shape, or form by the now pandemic that is the coronavirus. Is this discouraging you? You know, those, my listeners especially, who buy tickets and attend games out there, is this discouraging you from purchasing tickets and heading out with your family and friends to sporting events? Do I have any listeners out there who bought tickets to the Big Ten tournament? Are you rethinking that now? Just your overall thoughts of the virus. I want to hear from you. Would love to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is a number you can call or text. You can also weigh in via facebook.com/WKAR News and comment right below our live stream. And you can also tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And our news team, speaking of WKAR News, they have been on top of this really, you know, dating back to yesterday evening, when the governor addressed the state and, you know, talked about the first confirmed cases in the state of Michigan, and to, of course, Michigan State now suspending face-to-face instruction over coronavirus concerns. Our news team has been on top of this. Shout out to our entire WKAR news team. Simply follow us and follow our coverage at WKAR Sportsnet.org. I'm already seeing some stories from our very own Kevin Lavery and Scott Pohl concerning the coronavirus. Simply follow us at facebook.com/WKAR News as we're pubbing those stories on social media as well. But we've got you covered as far as coverage goes. Let's proceed here. Try to get back to some kind of normalcy on today's current sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. As I just mentioned, Michigan State University announced this morning that it is suspending face-to-face instruction in lectures, seminars, and classrooms and moving coursework to virtual online instruction due to the state's coronavirus outbreak. This was effective 12 p.m. today. The suspension of in-person classes will last until April 20th, and the school first said it learned yesterday of a probable case linked to the campus, which the Ingham County Health Department is investigating and monitoring. However, the university has changed that part of its statement, explaining the school has learned of a, quote, individual linked to our campus who the Ingham County Health Department is currently investigating and monitoring. The campus remains open. The university said it is evaluating large events already scheduled. So Michigan State University said it has been preparing for pivoting the East Lansing campus to online learning if the decision was required, which it now is. And all non-essential MSU-sponsored all non-essential MSU-sponsored travel to mainland China, Hong Kong, Singapore, South Korea, and Italy have been suspended. And as of Tuesday, all university-sponsored international travel is suspended. And this includes new travel as well as any currently booked trips between now and April 20th. So, again, this can have a direct effect on current sports and our coverage of the NCAA tournament, depending on how far Michigan State goes. But, yeah, I'll be having conversations with my team about that later on, and we'll certainly keep you all updated. All right, former Michigan State recruiting director Curtis Blackwell. Yeah, here's the latest chapter in this thing. He filed a new lawsuit in a state court this week alleging more recruiting violations and wrongdoing committed by former MSU football head coach Mark D'Antonio. Blackwell says in the lawsuit that the Spartans illegally and secretly taped the practices of opposing teams. Blackwell also said D'Antonio required him to do things that violate NCAA rules, including visiting recruits' homes, soliciting improper benefits for family members of recruits, and tampering by contacting players enrolled at other NCAA institutions to recruit them. In the lawsuit, Blackwell said his objections to these actions were part of the reason that his contract with Michigan State was not renewed, in May of 2017. Also, in these new allegations, Curtis Blackwell says that he was let go. He was fired because he's black. This is what Blackwell's lawyers wrote. Quote, If plaintiff was Caucasian rather than African American, he would not have been suspended and or terminated and not had his contract renewed by these defendants. So Blackwell was actually, though, replaced on the football staff by Sheldon White, who is black. So interesting. I don't get that one. But Curtis Blackwell still coming at Mark D'Antonio. Again, we'll have more on that story later on this hour. The Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament is set to kick off tonight, starting with the 12 seed Minnesota taking on 13 seed Northwestern at 6 p.m. And after that, the 11th seed Indiana takes on 14 seed Nebraska around 8:25 p.m. Because Michigan State is the 2 seed, they have a bye for the first two rounds of the tourney, playing either Ohio State or Purdue, depending on who wins that matchup on Friday at 6:30 p.m. 9 seed U of M kicks off action against 8-ranked Rutgers. That's tomorrow at noon, so we will be on the air while that one is taking place, and we'll be providing scoring updates as Michigan tries to move on in that first game of the tournament for them against, again, Rutgers. That's going to be a tough, tough game between Michigan and Rutgers. A really fun game to watch, actually. But listen to Current Sports if you're at home watching it. Just mute the TV. Have Current Sports going on while you're watching it, all right? Really appreciate that. All right, John Beilein news. The former U of M men's basketball coach who did test the NBA waters and was subsequently fired less than a season in, he has found a new home. He will join the Big Ten Network studio crew as an analyst for this week's Big Ten tournament and the Big Dance, the NCAA tournament. The network made that announcement last night. Beilein will make his BTN analyst debut on the Big Ten Network tournament tip-off show at 5:30 p.m. today, so about 4 hours away from that. The gig is Beilein's first since he stepped down as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA last month after 54 games. His short stint in the NBA came after a 12-year run at Michigan. Beilein will be part of a studio team that includes anchors Dave Revsine and Mike Hall and analysts Ben Brust, Brian Butch, Mike DeCourcy, Tim Miles, Jess Settles, Stephen Bardot, and Sean Morris. All right, 1 week before the start of spring practice, the Michigan football team is losing one of its most experienced linebackers, Devin Gill, who appeared in 39 games over the last three seasons for the Wolverines, said that he is entering the transfer portal. Gill made the announcement yesterday evening in a post on social media signaling plans to graduate from the University of Michigan this spring and play right away in 2020. This is what Gill wrote, quote, "I would like to thank the University of Michigan for providing me with the opportunity to earn my college degree while pursuing my love of football. I would also like to thank Coach Jim Harbaugh and Coach Don Brown for the knowledge that I have gained and for the experiences that I was fortunate to have participated in here at the University of Michigan." Again, that statement coming directly from Devin Gill, again, who is going to pursue a grad transfer from the University of Michigan. All right, local high school girls playoff action. Scores from the high school girls basketball regional semifinals in D1. Well, actually, you know what? I want to comb through those, Alec. I just want to see the local team. So we'll get to a few local scores later on this hour. Stay tuned for that. That's a tease. Also, want to throw it behind the glass to Alec right now to give us an update on some good news, some bittersweet news, if you will, concerning your Detroit Red Wings.
All right. So, Red Wings, you did it. You clinched it. That's not the President's Trophy, of course, but they have officially clinched the worst record in the NHL with the 5-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes last night, making their record 17-49-5. You're not going to believe this, but the Red Wings continued their winless record against Metropolitan Division teams for the season with that loss last night. And so now their chances of picking up projected first overall pick, Alexis Lafreniere, just got bigger. And so, yeah, that's just the fact that they haven't won a single game against a whole division of teams is just absolutely mind-boggling to me. And I'm just looking forward to just the draft and just the future, because right now it is so abysmal to be a Red Wings fan at this point.
Yeah, but that's a good thing that you clinched last place, because now you got a high draft pick. The rebuild continues for
yeah.
this team.
And so. it's not like the NBA where it's like the top, what, three or five teams, they have the same odds of getting the first overall pick. The first overall pick in the NHL has a slightly bigger chance
right.
of getting the first overall pick still. So
got Gotcha. Gotcha. All
That's something to look forward to.
Well, they clinched last place. That's awesome stuff for Wings fans out there. Again, you know, it all depends on the lens in which you look through it. And, you know, the Wings had no shot of making the playoffs. And now they clinched last place. Again, embrace the rebuild. You got to trust Stevie Y at this point. Okay. And speaking of bad professional sporting teams in Detroit, the Detroit Pistons are just really just looking to finish the season out at this point. 20-45 record. Younger players like Christian Wood and Sekou Doumbouya have been the diamonds in the rough for a painful basketball year. They will be on display tonight, though, as they take on the Philadelphia 76ers, a 7 p.m. tip time there. Detroit was dropped 96-84 on the road by the New York Knickerbockers on Sunday night in the last game, as a 5.5-point underdog. Philly fell 118-114 at Golden State as a 4-point favorite on Saturday night. In their last game, the 76ers lead the all-time regular season series 2-156, I should say, and have won the last five meetings, including a pair this season. In the most recent matchup, the 76ers earned a 125-109 road win as a 6.5-point favorite on December 23rd, 2019. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in right below our live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that live stream, and I'll get to a few of your comments in just a moment, actually. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, again, I do want to pass along those high school girls basketball scores to you all. So locally here, we got a few teams that are still dancing in the world of girls high school hoops. On Tuesday, we saw East Lansing top Portage Central. This was the Division I regional schedule at Holt. East Lansing beat Portage Central 54-33, so they move on to take on another local team, Holt, who again is hosting this regional. Holt beat Battle Creek Central 51-40. So on Thursday, East Lansing versus Holt at 7 p.m. Oh, that should be fun. For a regional title, East Lansing and Holt, yeah, that should be a lot of fun. D2 at Fowlerville, Hazlitt, unfortunately, saw its season come to a close, losing against Parma Western 45-34. So Parma Western moves on to take on Marshall at 7 p.m. Again, that D2 regional final at Fowlerville, Division II regional final at Owosso High School. Freeland is going to take on Frankenmuth at 7 p.m. on Thursday as Freeland beat Chesning 62-32 and Frankenmuth beat Portland. So another of our local teams, Portland, losing there 52-43. And then these final two regional finals here, D3 at Morley Stanwood High School. Powamo Westphalia moves on in a 40-37 nail-biting victory over Kent City. And PW will play Ithaca, another one of our local products. 44-35 was the final in an Ithaca win over Muskegon Western Michigan on Tuesday. So PW versus Ithaca at Morley Stanwood High School Thursday at 6:30 p.m. That should be fun. And Fowler beat Camden Frontier in the D4 regional semifinal at Lansing Christian High School. So Fowler will move on to play Battle Creek Calhoun Christian, who beat Litchfield 62-35. Fowler versus Battle Creek Calhoun Christian at 7 p.m. on Thursday. So congratulations to our local teams who are still dancing in the regional final. All of those games taking place on Thursday. That is awesome, awesome stuff. Before we hit our first break, you know, we started the hour, Alec and I, discussing the coronavirus. And if you don't know, now you know, the coronavirus has been officially confirmed in the state of Michigan. The governor addressed our state yesterday, and it's now been ruled as a pandemic by the World Health Organization. Classes, in-person, face-to-face classes have been suspended here at Michigan State University until April 20th. And, we're seeing this ripple effect take place also in the world of sports. And, when looking at this, it's going to be quite odd because Tom Izzo, you know, he addressed, you know, the coronavirus and its effect on basketball. And, we're seeing some modifications, just some slight modifications, Alec, when it comes to how the NCAA is going to deal with this. You know, I know that yesterday during, like, Michigan State shoot around, like, hand sanitizer was being, you know, squeezed out into the hands of the Spartans as they play and are trying to just stay healthy. And what I touched on last week, as an athlete, I mean, your body and your health is everything because your body is how you make your money and your moolah. And, you know, and even for collegiate athletes, I mean, you want to be healthy so that you have some tape on film to impress these professional scouts to possibly make your dream come true. I mean, in athletics, your body's everything, and you don't want to risk any kind of situation where you're putting your body at risk to receive this really disturbing virus. And how college athletics deals with this, I mean, that's why I really want to hear from the public. And we have a few comments coming in right now, courtesy of facebook.com/WKAR News and at our Twitter handle at WKAR News and at Al Martin WKAR, because I want to know how many fans are looking at this and saying, no, I'm not attending sporting events. You know, are you at that point right now, or are you on, because you're either on the side of the fence that says that, look, I'm taking every precaution possible, I'm limiting my traveling, I'm not in big crowds, or you're on the other side of the fence that says, look, let's not panic here. I'm still going to live my life. I'm of course going to take precautions in doing so, and making sure I'm washing my hands and doing the things necessary that's recommended to do to prevent or limit my chances of getting the coronavirus. But I'm still going to live my life, and I'm not going to let this deter that. So you're either on two sides here. And Alec, we are going to see it. We've already seen a direct effect. And you chimed in my ear and you said that you're already doing some research when it comes to one of your classes as it pertains to the coronavirus and how it's already affecting the world of sports. Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, so it's basically just kind of like a umbrella topic of just how sports in general have been affected, ranging from the Premier League in Europe having games canceled and some owners of sports teams testing positive to coronavirus to...
There already have been owners.
Yes.
Who have tested positive. Do you know who those are?
I think I don't remember for sure which. I think it was one of the biggest ones, though. It was one of the biggest teams, I remember, but in the Premier League. But ranges from that to the NHL, they're actually down, or they're pretty soon heading to a shortage of hockey sticks because all the hockey sticks came from China, and China no longer, you can no longer get anything from China. And so now the NHL could face a shortage of sticks. And it's just from the small things like that to potentially not allowing fans or media to come to the sporting events, it's going to have a drastic change really, really soon to how we watch sports. And there was actually one of my classmates who mentioned a good point yesterday about how the joint statement made by all four major North American sports associations.
Yeah, Major League Soccer, the MLB, NBA, and NHL.
Yep.
NFL's not in season, so they didn't. Yeah. They weren't part of that statement, but yeah.
But yeah, they came across with that statement saying that they don't want media presence in the locker rooms and whatnot. My classmate brought up a good point that even after, if the coronavirus subsides, that like we might see some changes. They might uphold the fact that they just don't want media in the locker rooms anymore, even after the coronavirus has, mm-hmm. Maybe subdued. And so, we could potentially see a huge change to how we conduct our business even after.
For sure. And that's the thing, too. I mean, and I totally get it. I totally understand that. I mean, a locker room, there's a lot of germs in the locker room. And, you know, these guys are just getting done from hitting the showers or about to hit the showers. And you're dealing with media members who are coming from all parts of the country. And they're in there. Who knows what they may have. It's just, again, you don't want to panic. That's the last thing you want to do when something like this is taking place. But you do need to take some precautions, especially when you look at just how rapidly the coronavirus is spreading. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
I have a point to make. So Italy, they're the second worst hit country outside of mainland China. So about a month ago, 30 days ago, they only had 6 cases, and now it's spread to 9,000 in 1 month's time.
Right.
And so now you're looking at it like, well, Italy is a developed country just like America. In America, we're constantly interconnected with each other. Even going to McDonald's or just, going to other places, we're constantly in contact with people that we don't even know or even know where they have been. And so it raises the question of, how quickly is it going to spread in America? Because we just don't know for certain. I mean, obviously, Italy has a smaller population than America. So, it could make sense on why it spreads so quickly. But I mean, like I said, the interconnectedness of American citizens, how we all depend on each other, it could have a huge role in the spread because every 6 days, the cases double.
Yeah.
So, I never like to be panicky, and I know how sometimes the media can blow things out of proportion, but I would much rather be sufficiently worried than not worried enough in a case like this, because when you see estimations that 40 to 60% of the entire human population has a chance of getting infected even eventually by the coronavirus, and with a 3.4% mortality rate that the WHO and the CDC both agree on, you're looking at potentially 200 million people dying if that even goes into the 40% mark of humans getting infected.
The numbers are jarring. I've been watching the world news all week, dating back to last week, I should say, for more than a week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks now, and the numbers, you can't ignore the numbers. And I want to pass this news along when it comes to how the sporting world is trying to deal with this. Colleges have already started to cancel games when playing in cities in the center of the worst coronavirus spread in the U.S., like Seattle. Chicago State University and the University of Missouri, Kansas City, two D1 basketball programs, actually canceled their road trips to Seattle University on March 4th. In the same state, the first and second round March Madness matchups will be taking place in Washington from March 19th to March 21st. So that is something that the NCAA is really going to look at. If you look at Johns Hopkins University out in Baltimore, Maryland, they announced that it will host its NCAA Division III men's basketball tournament games without fans on March 5th, and that happened. Maryland declared a state of emergency over the coronavirus after three positive cases were confirmed in Montgomery County. Stanford University announced that it would limit the number of fans at its future sporting events in order to allow people to have social distancing. Can you just imagine if this happened, if the first confirmed cases happened in the state of Michigan last week? I mean, that amazing atmosphere that we had at the Breslin Center this past weekend for senior night, where Michigan State was able to hoist up a third banner and, you know, it was the final game for beloved Spartans. You know, Cassius Winston, Joshua Langford, Connor George, and Kyle Arnes. I'm curious how I'm just thinking back now how the Breslin would have dealt with that. I mean, do you think game would have been played behind closed doors? Would fans have been able to attend? Can you just imagine that? I mean, Michigan State fans are so lucky that they were able, those who attended that game, that they were able to attend that game on Sunday against Maryland, because it would have been a totally different atmosphere if this news here in Michigan would have happened last week, Alec.
Oh, yeah. Like, imagine if they would have imposed that ban on, you know, just the public being able to go to the games. It would sound like NBA 2K blacktop.
Exactly.
It would just...
And that brings me to my next point. Can you imagine this? I could not help but think about this on my drive to the studio today. Tom Izzo and Michigan State basketball playing in an NCAA tournament game without fans, where you don't have the roar of the crowd. You don't have, you know, just the natural sounds that come from the crowd. It can get raucous at times, and chants and, you know, noises, whistles, that kind of thing. Can you imagine that game being televised? It being virtually silent, with the exception of the squeaking of the sneakers and the players calling out plays and so on and so forth, and the announcers, right? If they decide, I'm assuming they would still televise the games. Can you imagine Tom Izzo, who is known for being the emotional man that he is, who is known for saying a few things that aren't FCC compliant per se? Can you imagine that you would not be able to have audio coming from the court if Tom Izzo is on the sidelines?
Oh, I know.
I mean, you would have to make sure that there's a nice little delay so that you can like cut out and have a little bleep button, because that's the thing about these games when you have fans. I mean, it covers up, it clouds a lot of the chatter that happens in a huddle or on the sideline, because that's just the natural stadium acoustics, right? But Tom Izzo would have to be bleeped.
I mean, oh, I know.
If that happens, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that. If Tom Izzo is going to be bleeped a few times, if that happens, and I'm also seeing that this is another adjustment that TV networks may make. I don't know what this will do, how this makes it healthier, but they're going to interview the coaches, I guess not going to the locker room, but like in the under, and during those first two timeouts that happened, like the under five timeout, under 15 timeout, something like that, which happens, that's like as soon as the game starts. Can you imagine if Tom Izzo is down at that point, and again, the game is just now starting, you don't have a lot to digest, and you're trying to coach your team, just how irate Tom Izzo is going to be at that moment?
I can't even imagine.
An entertainment standpoint, that's a little bit intriguing. I cannot lie.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot lie. But I can only imagine what that's going to be like if it is a closed-off atmosphere, virtually silent with the exception of, again, you know, just the natural acoustics that you get from a game, but no fans there. Tom Izzo yelling something inappropriate from the sidelines or chewing a player out. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just thinking about the play-by-play announcers, because, they love to ride the energy of a student section or just the audience in general. And me and my friends are actually talking about this yesterday. Like, in the NBA, just imagine Steph Curry drains a shot from three and you hear Mike Breen going, bang, in an empty.
It does not have the same feel.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to affect so many things, from just the little things that you love to just – in general, like, games might get canceled. I mean, just like how they're doing it in the Premier League in soccer in Europe, they're canceling games. And San Jose, because they're in Santa Clara County, and they're having a bunch of cases right now. So the NHL team, the San Jose Sharks, they are looking at potentially closing games.
I saw that on social media when it comes to the Sharks. And this is the thing, though. This is the big million-dollar question, pun intended. The NCAA tournament brings in so much money around this time of the year. It is, I mean, Vegas, you know, I know we had Trevor Darnell on the show. Trevor's doing his thing out in Vegas now. His dream was to work in Vegas and work directly when it comes to sports gambling, which has become, it's legal now here in America. It's such a huge thing now. Again, I mentioned at the top of the hour how sports betting, in-person sports betting is now legal. It's now a thing, I should say, here in the state of Michigan as sports books downtown Detroit at those casinos have officially opened and you can now place a bet in person. It's huge. And March Madness is huge. You know, it's like March Madness and the Super Bowl. Those are the two biggest sporting events that are bet on around this time of the year. Also, the two, when it comes to March Madness, I mean, March Madness in the NCAA tournament is one of the most well-attended sporting events in our nation. And it's like, if you go about canceling games or not allowing fans to go to games, financially, just how big of a financial hit will the NCAA take? And that is why, I think that's the number one reason why, Alec, they are delaying what they are, how they're going to handle this. You know, when you have a lot of cheese on the line, when you have a lot of money on the line, canceling games and not allowing fans to purchase tickets and attend these games, if you're losing a lot of money, you're going to lose a lot of money that way. Are you willing to take that risk? And when you have a lot of money on the line, thoughts get delayed a bit. I'll just say that. But at the end of the day, health comes first. And again, that's why I'm curious how fans are reacting to this. If fans are just going to say, hey, skip this, I'm not freaking out about it. And we got some comments. I'm going to read some comments coming out on our Facebook page right now, Alec, after our second break. But that's why I'm so curious to know how fans are dealing with this. You know, Jack Kerwin, who's a part of the current sports team, engineer just like yourself, Alec, he engineered the show yesterday. His family, some members of his family, including his dad, are graduates of Illinois. And Jack and his family, they have purchased tickets to go to Indy at Bankers Life Fieldhouse and, you know, and be there at the tournament, cheering on Illinois and Michigan State. And Jack is, I've had multiple conversations about Jack dating, you know, since this past weekend. And Jack is like, look, man, if I do get it, I got a high chance of recovering. I'm not going to let this impede and embark on my life. I'm still going to the Big Ten tournament with my folks. I'm wondering how many people had that same Jack Kerwin mindset.
I actually, I was thinking about this weekend potentially going to Tampa Bay to visit some of my friends because round trip, you never see anything like this. I looked on Expedia.com, round trip, $84.
Right.
Round trip.
Yeah.
That is insane to me.
It's like, you know, I was talking to my brother Will this morning. It's like the world is on sale right now.
Yeah.
Stocks are tanking right now. You know, you look at the effect of that this is having on travel now. I mean, it's crazy, man. It's insane what is happening.
I mean, my parents, like, this is not related to like sports, but my parents bought $800 worth of groceries.
In
preparation of potentially, you know, they think that within the month, me and my brother might have to come home from our colleges. And, I mean, we don't know. There's so much uncertainties with this that, I mean, that very well could happen.
Right.
There's just so much unknown. And, like, my parents, their mindset was, well, worst comes to worst, we just have a month of groceries, you know? And so it's not a big deal. Like, that's the worst case scenario. We might as well just be overprepared than underprepared.
There's a lot of people like that. I tried to buy hand sanitizer yesterday.
Oh, my God.
That's all sold out. So I want to hit our final break. When we come back, I'm going to read a few comments coming in on our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/WKAR News. The coronavirus, its effect on sports and your everyday life. You are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back.
Hey,
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Really, the entire show has been centered on the coronavirus and its effect, not just on your daily life, which I know all of you are experiencing, but in the world of sports. A few comments I want to get to on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Mike says, there's no need to buy massive quantities of toilet paper. I saw that story as well. A lot of people are buying a lot of toilet paper. I just think that people are you know, just trying to prepare, man. Just trying to prepare. And Mike follows that up with, I'm just commenting on some of the folks, some people's panicked responses. Aaron says, I'm going to SmackDown on Friday. I am not scared. So Aaron is not letting the coronavirus affect his day-to-day life, and he's not afraid of large gatherings. Ben comments and says, I don't like that the MAC conferences and the Ivy Leagues are canceling their men's conference basketball tournaments, and they are handing the regular season championship to and the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, which is I think is ridiculous. But look, it's bigger than automatic bids and, you know, who gets in the tournament at this point. This is about health, and health trumps anything, really. Health is wealth, and these conferences are looking at things and saying, okay, and first off, conference tournaments, don't get me started on how pointless they are. I hate conference tournaments. I say this every single year around this time of the year. You know, I would care less if Michigan State got eliminated in the first game that they play on Friday night. Who cares about the Big Ten Conference? I think they're going to be a 3 seed. And I think if they were to go all the way, I don't even believe that they will be a 2 seed. I think they're a 3 seed regardless. So it's more so, again, for those teams that are barely hanging on, that are on the bubble or totally out of the picture, if they can go on some crazy, crazy run. Also, Mike says, I'm older. I'm over 60 years old in good health, and I'm being reasonable. I keep at least a month of food and supplies on hand at all times. I keep a track of the CDC and local health department websites. I won't go to big gatherings. However, I would if I was younger. I would go to the tournament game at this time. Yeah. And also Jasmine comments and says, wow, such great insight on what's going on and the measures of precaution organizations are taking. Thank you for covering this. Good job, guys. So yeah, it's an important topic. I felt the need to cover it because, again, we're right here. I mean, WKAR is right here on the campus of Michigan State University, and this university, it feels weird. It feels like a ghost town at this point. Also, I want to go, Connor Mathis of the Argus Press and Monday Current Sports Engineer, he did comment on our Facebook page. So I'm not going to read Connor's comments, and maybe the fact that I didn't get to his comments until just now is why he called in. But we do have Connor Mathis on line one who wants to weigh in. Connor, what's up, my friend?
What's up, Al? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Happy hump day to you. I know you've been chomping at the bit to weigh in on this topic. I see your comments on our Facebook page right now, but I'll let you voice them right now. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, so my thing is the whole idea that these teams, they're kind of pushing the media out of locker rooms, doesn't make a lot of sense to me, to be honest with you. The chances of having like that small group of media contaminate the players seems far less likely than having, you know, 10,000 plus people in the arena to watch the game, and to have one of 10,000 people have the coronavirus that you're so afraid of. So to me, it seems like they kind of push the media away from the locker rooms as kind of a, hey, look, we're doing something, but also they're still very much kind of protecting their bottom line of, you know, they got all those fans coming in. And the other thing with it too that I really just kind of bothered me is like you said, with the whole automatic bids, I mean, for the conference tournaments and things like that. I mean, honestly, unless my opinion is, unless the virus has gotten into the area where you're playing it, just play the games behind closed doors. Don't let the fans in. In this day and age, I mean, so much of those conferences and the NCAA in general, they make their money from TV, so why not just broadcast it on TV?
That's a good point. Yeah, sure, ticket sales are a part of the revenue that the NCAA banks in, but again, the majority of that money is, like you just stated, Connor, is from television deals. But, you know, and this is another thing, though. You know, if you do that, the effect that it will have possibly on the games. Because we all know, I mean, March is such a magical time because, you know, you have some of these fan bases, especially for those teams who sneak into the tournament, Connor, who have no shot, and they go on these incredible runs, much to do in part of their fan base traveling. And having that energy in the stadium, it does a lot psychologically for a lot of these teams, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. My thing is that it seems like we're having this conversation of, well, we need to either cancel games or we need to play them business as usual. I think playing them without the fans is a compromise that makes sense from both a health standpoint and from a, look, these conferences, the NCAA, they need to make their money. And you know, that's just kind of how I feel. And again, it's not like it's a long-term solution. By no means should the NCAA or any of these teams say, oh, we're not doing fans anymore, because, again, the fan revenue is a huge part of the equation. But in the short term, when you have these circumstances that are going to make it difficult, I think you should still, you know, just take those precautions and do, you know, cut a little bit out for yourself. But, I mean, still, like, having a broadcast with the game going on, is still having the game. And maybe if you had, like, for television purposes, you had some creative production there, you know, you could have, like, fan tweet reactions, things like that. So you still kind of get that fan response, connection type stuff, but you're still kind of making sure you're taking the precautions necessary.
I like that. Connor, outstanding call. Appreciate it, brother.
Yep.
Some really good points there from Connor, Alec. And, you know, it just kind of takes away from, you know, the atmosphere when you don't have fans there. I don't know, maybe you pump in some fan music from the speakers. I mean, it's not some fan music, like some fan crowd noise.
Are you saying right? Like how sitcom shows use fake audience things? Are
like
you saying like
track,
that?
Like a laugh track in a sitcom?
Yeah.
But they do that in practice. I mean, I've seen Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio, you know, during practice, they will pump in crowd noise to get them used to playing in a hostile environment. But I don't know. I'm just having fun there. They won't do that. That's just,
yeah,
that is so
but just imagine.
Yeah, I know, right? It's going to be a different atmosphere. If the NCAA decides to go that route and close off these events from fans, I mean, you know, it's not unrealistic at this point. And it could have a big effect on how a lot of these teams, it could benefit a team like Michigan State, you know, who may run against a team that is a bad matchup and is, you know, getting fueled by their fan base. Michigan State, you know, locking in and concentrating a bit more, not having to deal with the fan raucous in the crowd. I don't know. Those are things that you can't really measure in numbers. So, all right, that's it for today's Current Sports, folks. Again, be safe out there. Much thanks to Alec Rio, our engineer behind the glass, for today's show. We'll get back to some kind of regular programming on Current Sports, hopefully tomorrow. But this is a story that is not going away anytime soon. We will recap what happens tonight in the Big Ten tournament, and we'll be previewing some games, and Michigan and Rutgers will be playing as we're on the air tomorrow. So going to be an interesting Big Ten men's basketball show tomorrow. Until then, we're on a 23-hour break. See you at 1 p.m. on Thursday, and be easy, people.